శ్రీమద్ భగవద్గీత చాప్టర్ 12 భక్తి యోగ శ్లోక 9.
అత చిత్తం సమాధాతుం నశక్నోషి మయి స్థిరం. అత చిత్తం సమాధాతుం నశక్నోషి మయి స్థిరం. అభ్యాసయోగేన తతః మామిచ్ఛాప్తుం ధనంజయ. అభ్యాసయోగేన తతో మామిచ్ఛాప్తుం ధనంజయ.
నౌ కృష్ణ కమ్స్ డౌన్ ఈవెన్ ఫర్దర్. ఇఫ్ యు సే దట్ ఫిక్సింగ్ ద మైండ్ అండ్ ఇంటలెక్ట్ అపాన్ ద విశ్వరూపం ఇస్ సో డిఫికల్ట్ యాజ్ వాజ్ సీన్ ఇన్ ద ప్రీవియస్ శ్లోక, దెన్ హీ సేస్ అథ హవర్ ఇఫ్ చిత్తం మయి సమాధాతుం నశక్నోషి చేత్. నశక్నోషి చేత్, ఇఫ్ యు ఆర్ నాట్ ఏబుల్ టు చిత్తం మయి సమాధాతుం ఫిక్స్ యువర్ మైండ్ అపాన్ మీ, అపాన్ ద విశ్వరూపా మీ, ఇఫ్ యు ఆర్ నాట్ ఏబుల్ టు డూ దాట్ అండ్ హౌ స్థిరం స్టడీలీ ఫర్మ్లీ, ఇఫ్ యు ఆర్ నాట్ ఏబుల్ టు స్టడీలీ ఫిక్స్ యువర్ మైండ్ ఆన్ ది విశ్వరూపా ఆఫ్ మీ, దెన్ వాట్ యు షుడ్ డూ? అభ్యాస యోగ, ద యోగా ఆఫ్ ప్రాక్టీస్, ది సాధనా ఆఫ్ ప్రాక్టీస్. And what does he mean by Abhyasa Yoga? Here he means, again, Upasana only here also. But here the object of Upasana is not Vishwarupa, but the object is any Devata with limited form. Any Saguna Devata, any Ishta Devata with limited form one can meditate upon. Therefore, even though, really speaking, the Lord is Vishwarupa, because we saw Visvarupa Darshanam in the last previous chapter. For the sake of the devotee, the Lord assumes the smaller forms also, like Krishna, Rama, all those Ishta Devatas, which are called various Devatas, Anya Devatas, and the person can choose any one of them to meditate upon the Lord. We have got the widest choice of gods in our religion, and even the same Lord has several forms, Shiva as Dikshinamurti, Nataraja, Sundaresa, so many forms Shiva himself has. So taking any of those forms called the Ishta Devata, a particular form of the Lord of choice, and as was said before, which one is the Ishta Devata, one should not think that the other Devatas are anishtam. It is Ishta Devata, that's all. But other Devatas are also as good as any other Devata for the sake of meditation. So all Devatas are nothing but the form of one Ishwara only. Just for the sake of convenience, one takes a particular form to meditate upon. So other forms are equally important and sacred. They are also glorious. They are also blessing. So the mantra is superior. The deity is more powerful. All those things are all, those are all other kinds of thinking. So, in fact, all deities are equally powerful because there is nothing like that God is superior, this God is superior. Actually, that comparison itself is meaningless because we have only one God. We have only God. Having chosen one form, when I practice concentrating on that form, it is called Abhyasa Yoga, the practice. సో చిత్త భూమౌ ఏకం ఆలంబనం స్వీకృత్య ఉపాసనం. హ్యావింగ్ వన్ సింబల్ ఆలంబనం, మే బి ఫెమిలియర్ విత్ దిస్ వర్డ్ ఆలంబనం, ద సింబల్. టేక్ ఎనీ సింబల్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ అండ్ మెడిటేట్ అపాన్ దాట్ లార్డ్. సో వీ కెన్ కాల్ ఇట్ యాస్ ఇష్టదేవత ఉపాసన అభ్యాస యోగేన, యూసింగ్ ది ప్రాక్టీస్ అభ్యాస. బట్ కృష్ణ ఈస్ వెరీ కేర్ఫుల్. హీ సేస్ డోంట్ స్టాప్ విత్ వన్ ఇష్టదేవత ఉపాసన. That is not the goal of your life at all. So what you should do? One should be able to see that Krishna as the whole universe. That Krishna is no more an idol. The entire Vishwarupa, the entire cosmos. We have told this in the 9th chapter, 11th chapter, all those places. That is why we have 2 dhyana shlokas for each deity. One dhyana shloka is Megashyamam Pitakavaseya Vasam. This is a personal form of that Lord. And then another dhyana shloka, Bhupadav Yasyanabhihi, that is about the Vishwarupa of the Lord. So Vishnu is not the Pitambaradhari alone. Vishnu is the very universe. It's the very universe. Similarly, 2 dhyana shlokas for Shiva, for Devi, every one of them, the Ishta Devata concept and also the Vishwarupa concept. That means we can have a personal vision first, And after that, we have to have the cosmic vision or the universal vision. So Krishna says, Abhyasa Yogena, by constantly practicing the Ishta Devata Upasana, what should be my goal? Mam Aptum Ichcha. Try to come to Vishwarupa Upasana by practicing Ishta Devata Upasana. You should strive or you should struggle. Try to do what? Mam Aptum. Vishwarupam Aptum. Mam here refers to Vishwarupam. Ichcha. Your goal should be coming to Vishwarupa Upasana. You can do Ishta Devata Upasana to start with, but your goal should be to finally come to Vishwarupa Upasana. And once you come to Vishwarupa Upasana, one should not stop there also. The goal should be to come to Akshara Upasana, the infinite, Akshara. So, Ishta Deva Upasana to Vishwarupa Upasana, and finally to Akshara Upasana, through which a person will reach Moksha. So, Arjuna, Mam Aptum, Vishwarupam Aptum Ichcha. And if Arjuna feels that he is not prepared for Ishta Devata Upasana also, then Krishna is coming down by one more step. So, how gradually Krishna tries to make a bhakta come to him by offering various choices. Shloka 10. Abhyasepya samarthosi matkarma paramo bhava. Abhyasepya samarthosi matkarma paramo bhava. Madarthamapi karmani kurvan siddhima vapsyasi. Madarthamapi karmani kurvan siddhima vapsyasi. Suppose, for example, you are not able to do Ishta Devata Upasana also. Then, abhyase api asamartaha asi chet. If you find yourself incapable, asamartaha. If you find yourself incapable of abhyasa, of this practice. So, Abhyasa Yoga or Ishta Devata Upasana, if you think that you are not capable of practicing that. Why does this happen? When the mind is too much rajasic, this problem comes. Mind is always agitated. It is extremely active, agitated mind. It will have to do something or the other. It will never be tranquil. It is an extrovert mind, because meditation requires what? Some amount of sattva guna. One should be able to be at least composed in tranquility for some time. We are not talking about Vedanta Upasana, that Nididhyasana, we are not talking about it. We are talking only about simple dhyana, simple Upasana meditation. So, even Ishta Deva Upasana requires some amount of sattva guna. Without that, even that is not easily possible for people. So, because, you know, one should be, all kinds of extravert things should be withdrawn from the worldly activities, phone, business, politics, stock market, all those things one should withdraw at least during that time. So, when the sattva guna is limited and when rajoguna is predominant, it will be very difficult to withdraw the mind from all those diversions. But Krishna says, do not worry. Extrovert people also are very useful. They can do lot of work for the world because we need active people also. So, he says, do work. You need not have to do meditation, but how should you work? That is important. Matkarma paramo bhava. You do all activities for my sake. Matkarma. Ishvara prityartham. Ishwararpanam. Do lot of activities. Engage in lot of activities, but offer those activities to me. Matkarma. Madartham karma. Do all activities for my pleasure, for my sake. That means what? You should do all activities prescribed by me. You cannot just do any activity you want. Do activities prescribed by me. All dharmic activities. Just like what? When a master tells his servant that you do all the activities for pleasing me, what all actions will please the master? Whatever actions the master has prescribed, he should do. Minimum. So, and if he does the cleaning as enjoined by the master will be pleased. Similarly, if you have to please the Lord, you should do the action that are enjoined by the Lord. That alone is called duty. So, nitya naimittika karmas. Whatever is prescribed in the shastras as our duties, one should do it as a kartavyam, with a sense of duty. So, do your nitya naimittika karma అండ్ ఆఫ్టర్ దోస్ కర్మాస్ ఆఫర్ దమ్ హ్యాస్ ఈశ్వర ప్రీత్యర్థం. ఫర్ ది సేక్ ఆఫ్ ఈశ్వర ఐ ఎమ్ డూయింగ్ దిస్, డెడికేట్ దమ్ ఆల్ టు ఈశ్వర, టు ద లార్డ్. దట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ మత్కర్మ కరణం. ఇన్ ఫ్యాక్ట్ వీ హ్యావ్ కమ్ టు ది కర్మయోగ లెవెల్ నౌ. ఫ్రమ్ కర్మీ లెవెల్ వీ హ్యావ్ కమ్ టు కర్మయోగ లెవెల్. ఇఫ్ యూ రిమెంబర్ కర్మయోగ డిస్కషన్, ఆర్ డూ ఆల్ యువర్ యాక్షన్స్ అండ్ ఆఫర్ దమ్ టు ద లార్డ్, ఈశ్వర ప్రీత్యర్థం, ఈశ్వరార్పణం కరో. సో ఈశ్వర అర్పణ బుద్ధ్యా కర్మ కురు. సో ఇన్ దిస్ దర్ ఇస్ అ రెస్ట్రిక్షన్ యాక్చువల్లీ. కృష్ణ సేస్ దట్ యూ షుడ్ డూ ఆల్ యాక్షన్స్ ఫార్ మై సేక్ ఓన్లీ. దట్ మీన్స్ వాట్? You should not desire anything for yourself. Do it all for me. That means no kamya karma is allowed. I cannot do some karma thinking that I want this and that. Every action for duty's sake or for Lord's sake. Because duty is prescribed by whom? By the Lord only. So remember the third chapter. Niyatam kuru karma. See, all those things Krishna said. Niyatam కురు కర్మత్వం కర్మజ్యాయోహ్య కర్మణః. డూ వాట్ ఐ సే, దట్ ఈస్ యువర్ డ్యూటీ. దట్స్ వాట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ సేయింగ్. డూ వాట్ ఎవర్ ఐ సే, దట్ ఈస్ యువర్ డ్యూటీ. సో మత్కర్మ పరమోభవ పరమః. పరమః మీన్స్ యువర్ గోల్. సో యువర్ ఓన్లీ గోల్ ఈస్ డూయింగ్ ద యాక్టివిటీ ఫార్ ద ప్లెషర్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్, ఫుల్ఫిల్లింగ్ యువర్ డ్యూటీ. దెన్ వాట్ విల్ హ్యాపన్? మదర్థమపి కర్మాణి కుర్వన్. By doing your actions for my sake also, Ishvara Prityartham Karmani Kurvanapi, Ishvara Arpana Buddhya Karmani Kurvanapi, by offering all the actions as Ishvara Arpanam, Siddhim Avapsyasi, you can attain moksha. Here Siddhi means moksha. So by doing karma as an offering to the Lord also, you can attain moksha. But not directly, we should be careful. Through karma, one cannot get moksha directly. If you do this, rajoguna becomes less and less, then sattvaguna comes. Because of Ishvara anugraha, sattvaguna will become more and more, and which is called the purity of mind, chitta shuddhi. And when the mind becomes relatively quieter, he begins to think, what am I doing, who am I, all those kinds of questions. I have been working for 40 years as a workaholic, paying bills, paying mortgages. Am I only contributing to my material benefits, or did I do anything at all to my spiritual progress? I will ask those questions. These questions will come, and so feels like devoting time towards higher goals. So that's what it enables a person to do. So from Ishwararpana Buddhi, gradually he gets more and more sattva guna, sattvic abilities he gets. That is, becomes more and more fit for upasana and raises to the level of Ishta Devata Upasana. From a karmi, trying to become a karma yogi and tries to do upasana of an Ishta Devata. Then from there he will progress to Vishwarupa Upasana. From there he will go to Akshara Upasana, Vedanta Vichara, etc. And finally to liberation. That is a path. So the first step will lead to moksha. It will not directly give moksha. Otherwise the other steps will give him indirectly moksha, because paramparaya moksha hetuhu. So a person will get gradually moksha after chitta shuddhi and all that thing through that process. So you just to work, not for your sake, but for the sake of fulfilling your duty. It should be done with a sense of duty. Now Arjuna says, it is also difficult for me. Okay, he goes on saying everything is difficult. So the fourth step also is difficult for some people. Then Krishna is going to come down to the fifth step, one more step. That we will see in the next shloka. Shloka 11. Atai tadapyashaktosi kartum madyoga mashritaha. అతై తదప్య శక్తోసి కర్తుం మద్యోగమాశ్రితః సర్వ కర్మ ఫల త్యాగం తత కురు యతాత్మవాన్. సర్వ కర్మ ఫల త్యాగం తత కురు యతాత్మవాన్. సో ఇన్ ద ప్రీవియస్ స్టెప్ వాట్ ఇస్ ద డిఫికల్టీ? ద డిఫికల్టీ ఈస్ వన్ షుడ్ డూ ఓన్లీ నిత్య నైమిత్తిక కర్మాస్ and dedicate all of them to Lord. He should not do any kamya karma. Without expecting anything, he should do all the karmas. He should not ask anything for himself. So this is possible only if a person keeps free from kama and keeps vairagyam, So all those things he should have. So nishkamatvam, vairagyam, all should be there for a person, for him to be able to do the karma in this manner. But it is very difficult for majority of people, because majority of the people, they want something or the other for themselves from the Lord. So as long as kama and raga are there, a person can never dedicate all actions to the Lord. It is difficult. So Ishwara Arpanam is very difficult for them. Then what to do? The last step is, okay, do all the actions for your own benefit. No problem. Krishna says, do it all for your own benefit. But do one thing. When you are taking the phalam for you, normally you should not have taken the phalam, because it's not a kami karma. But if you are taking the phalam, you should have offered it to me. But now you want to take the benefit for yourself. You take it. But one thing, this is the thing. Before taking the phalam, offer it to the Lord and then take it from the Lord. You take it as Ishwara Prasada. So whatever may be the benefit of your action, you can take it, but before taking it, offer it to the Lord. So as Ishwara Prasada, you take the karma phalam when you do kamya karma. So when you do Nitya Naimittika karma, you should not expect any result, because Nitya Naimittika karmas are done based on what? Duty. So for doing a duty, you cannot expect any reward. It is dedicated to the Lord. But when you do a kamya karma, because of your desire, you will certainly take the result, no problem. But when you take the result, you take it as Ishwara Prasada. Whether it is success or failure or in between, does not matter. Take them as Ishwara Prasada. So the last step is what? Prasada Buddhi. So previously Ishwara Arpana Buddhi, now Prasada Buddhi with respect to the karma phalam. And in this case, kamya karma also is allowed. But only thing is, the palam should be taken as prasada. So monthly salary, take it. You work for the full month, no problem. Take the monthly salary, but after keeping it at the feet of the Lord and praying to the Lord, oh Lord, because of your grace, I could complete one full month of work without any problem and could get the full salary. I offer it to you and take it as prasadam from the Lord. Similarly, food, no problem, eat it, but taking it as prasada from the Lord. It is naivedyam. It is an acknowledgement. Oh Lord, with your permission, I am eating this food as your gift. The attitude should become one like that. This is what is said in this shloka. He says, sarva karma. You do all the kamya karmas. Here karma refers to kamya karmas. You can take the results also. So in the case of nitya naimittika karma, Ishwara arpanam. But in the case of kamya karma, as Ishwara prasadam, the result. I give it to the Lord and take it. So nitya naimittika karmana palam Ishwara arpitam. So parantu kamya karmana palam Ishwaraya arpayita arpita grihitam. So a person should offer it to the Lord and take it as prasadam. So this is what is said in the, this is the fifth and the last step. So atham etadapi ashaktosi. If you are not able to confine to nitya naimittika karmas, that is, Ishwara Arpana Buddhi is not there with you, then what should you do? Madhyogam Ashritaha San. Thereafterwards, taking to the yoga of my worship. Sarva karma palatyagam kuru. Offer or dedicate all the results of your karmas, all karmas, including kamya karma and even nishiddha karma. For some reason, if you have done some nishiddha karma without knowledge, whatever it is, if I am forced to do a nishiddha karma, I tell the Lord, I am telling a lie, which I should not be doing. And if you think that you are forced into the circumstance to tell a lie, I should be very much aware that I am doing a nishiddha karma, which is very big papam. I should tell the Lord, for this papa karma, I will receive the palam with prasada buddhi. I should not be doing this, but I am doing this. But for this karma, whatever palam comes, I will take it as a prasadam from you. If you are afraid that the palam may come sometime, and if you do not want to take the palam at any other time, otherwise you yourself voluntarily accept a punishment for that casual lie. Whether it is fasting or foregoing some comfort or, you know, writing the Ishwara Nama 1,000 times, people do all that. They tell a lie And as a prayaschitta, they write Ramanama 1,000 times. So people can do all those things. That is, they themselves are feeling their papa karma and then offering themselves some punishment in the form of thinking of the Lord and praying to the Lord. Now we are not even aware how many lies we are telling because we are not bothered about it. If you are bothered about it, for each lie we tell, we will be doing all these prayaschittas. So the first thing is what? I should be aware of the seriousness of it. I should not take it as a casual thing. It is a cancer for spiritual personality. One lie is going to multiply to hundreds and thousands of lies later. I should tell consciously that I will take the result from the Lord. And that is why when suffering comes tomorrow, I should not protest. I should tell, I am suffering for every lie that I told. For every papa karma that I did, I am suffering. I don't have to blame anybody for my suffering. I have to blame only myself for my suffering. And so the fifth step is, even kamya nishiddha karmas, sarva karmas are allowed here. But when the palam comes, I should take it as Ishvara prasada. So he says, sarva karma pala tyagam kuru. Offer it to the Lord. Tyagam kuru. Offer it to the Lord before taking the palam. That's what Krishna says. Before taking the palam, offer it to the Lord. So tataha kuru yata atmavan. Here atma means the antakaranam, the mind. It is not Satchidananda atma. Yatam. Yatam means controlled, restrained, disciplined. That atma. Yata atmavan. So yata atmavan means with a disciplined mind. With a disciplined mind, controlled mind, may you practice this fifth step. That is the prasada buddhi step. May you practice that. And this is also karma yoga only. Both the fourth shloka and the fourth step and the fifth step both belong to karma yoga. The difference is in the fourth step, karma yoga emphasizes the Ishvara arpana buddhi. And in the fifth shloka, the fifth step, it emphasizes the prasada buddhi. That is the only difference between these two, but both are one and the same. Then what will happen? If I take the kamya karma palam as Ishvara prasada because of my attitude, what happens to the mind? Mind becomes purer. And as the mind becomes purer, kamya nishiddha karmas become lesser. In a pure mind, the desire and all those things, naturally they get less. We will find that lying is not necessary at some point. So harming people, you know, that may not be necessary. It will become less and less. Harming means not just only physically harming, even thinking in a harmful way. And then kamya karmas will also become less. And that a time will come when there are no more kamya karmas at all, no more nishiddha karmas at all. One confines to nitya naimittika karmas alone, one's own duties. And when nitya naimittika karmas come, he offers the palam to the Lord. There is no question of taking the palam for nitya naimittika karmas because it is one's duty. So from prasada buddhi, he will come to Ishvara arpana buddhi for good and because there is no kamya karma at all. So from the fifth step, he will progress to the fourth step. And if he does Ishvara Arpana Buddhya Karma for a long time, the mind becomes quieter, then he will be fit for Upasana. And because Sattva Guna has increased in him, Rajo Guna has decreased by this attitude. So he can think of Ishta Devata Upasana also at that time. From there, he will progress to the Ishta Deva Upasana, to Vishwarupa Upasana he will progress. From there, he will go to Akshara Upasana and ultimately to Moksha. So if someone says, oh Krishna, this also I cannot do. Some guy might say, even this I cannot do. Then what Krishna will say? Better luck in the next birth. Whatever may be your next birth. So this is the minimum one should do. So even if this is difficult also for you to do it, better luck is the next birth. So if we cannot do even this much this month, in this birth, we cannot call ourselves even human beings. Because for the lowest human being, Krishna has provided, he has allowed even selfish kamya karma even for that person. And offering the palam to the Lord and taking it back, even if this cannot be done, Lord cannot help it. He can only accept it, that he will be different in the next birth. That's what he will do. So with this, the five stages of bhakti are over. And here the point we have to take is what? That even karma yoga is included as a type of bhakti only. There is no separate bhakti yoga actually. Karma yoga also is included in the bhakti. In fact, as the lowest type of bhakti. Karma yoga is also a type of bhakti. Why? Because in karma yoga also, Ishvara Arpanam is there. Ishvara Prasada Buddhi is there. So fourth and fifth steps, karma yoga is also bhakti. There is nothing like a bhakti yoga separately. Karma yoga is bhakti. Thereafter was Ishta Devata Upasana, Vishwarupa Upasana, and there are also other types of bhaktis. And later the Akshara Upasana, known as Vedanta Vichara, inquiry into self-knowledge. And that is also a type of bhakti only. So bhakti is not a particular sadhana, as we mentioned earlier, but a series of sadhanas taking the person from the lowest level to the highest level. And that series alone, Krishna has very clearly provided now. Now we can understand when people say that someone, you know, took to karma marga, another one took to bhakti marga, and another one took to jnana marga, Krishna made it very clear that it is not separate margas at all. Karma marga is a beginning step. Then upasana is the next step. And then jnanam is final step. It's all are different steps. Bhakti is a common word given to all these three steps. That is why this chapter is titled Bhakti Yoga, which includes karma, upasana and jnanam. Shloka 12.
Shreyo hi jnanam abhyasat, jnanadhyanam visishyate. Shreyo hi jnanam abhyasat, jnanadhyanam visishyate. Dhyana karma pala tyagaha, tyagachantiranantaram. Dhyana karma pala tyagaha, tyagachantiranantaram.
So Krishna has talked about the five steps of bhakti, namely Akshara Upasana from Shloka 3 to 5, which is the direct means for liberation to moksha. And if one cannot do that, then the immediate next step is Vishwarupa Upasana, given in Shloka 6 to 8. And if that is difficult also, Krishna gives in Shloka 9 the third step, namely the Abhyasa Yoga, the yoga of practicing the Upasana on any Ishta Devata. And if that is not also possible, Krishna comes one more step further down in Shloka 10 to do all the karmas with an attitude of offering to the Lord Ishvara Arpana Buddhi and gets Sattva Guna more. So do work not for your sake, but for the sake of fulfilling your duty. If that is also difficult, then do all the activities for the sake of your benefit, not as Ishvara Arpana, but as a last step, he says, when the palam comes, take it as Ishvara Prasada. This was said in the 11th sloka. So we saw in the previous sloka. So Krishna has talked about all the five steps, and when majority of people took it to themselves, they may feel that they are fit to the for the fifth step only, because majority of people are still they have kama, they all have desires. So they will take to kamya karma only most of the time. And because of that, he may have an inferiority complex. I am only at this level. I am at the lowest level of bhakti. And so Krishna does not want him to feel inferior. So in this shloka, Krishna glorifies the fifth step. So it is karma pala tyaga stutihi, the glorification of the fifth step. So that one will not feel bad to follow the fifth step. So as we have said earlier, when glorification comes, exaggeration is allowed. This is a poetic license. So like telling, one time you utter the name of the Lord, you will get moksha. Normally people say, you know, utter the name of the Lord once, you will get moksha. Or all the sins that you have done so far will all be wiped out. And those to be done in future also will go away by uttering the name of the Lord. Even without knowing the meaning of it, they say all those things. So the Ajamila Upakhyana, all those stories they give. And the purpose is what? Everyone should take to the Lord's name. But one should not take it that by Ekavara Japena Muktihi, by saying it once I will get Mukti, Moksha. It is essentially to tell the importance of Nama, of the Lord, and one should be concentrating on that to get Chitta Shuddhi. So if that is the case, why 18 chapters of Gita? There is no need for it at all. You know, we could have simply told, "Oh Arjuna, simply tell my name, you will be liberated." He could have told him. So it is only stutihi, glorification, and there is a meaning in it also. So if a person utters the name of the Lord, he will get purification to that extent, which will create more interest in him and will become more sattvic. That is the aim. More interest to study scriptures, then do shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, and ultimately the name will lead to liberation. But not that nama uccharana matrena moksha vidyate. No, not that by just reciting the name he gets moksha. He has to go through all these steps. This is what is called stutihi, glorification or exaggeration. Here also, the fifth step is not the greatest step. It is in fact the lowest step. But just to encourage the people, Krishna glorifies the fifth step as the greatest one here. Shreyohi jnanam abhyasat. Abhyasa means meditation here. Upasana. Especially the Vishwarupa Upasana. And by the word abhyasa, Krishna means a mechanical upasana, one without understanding. So, avivekaham purvakatim abhyasam abhyasatim, Shankaracharya says. Better than mechanical upasana is what? Jnanam. So, understanding of Ishvara is better than doing the puja, upasana, etc. mechanically. And jnana dhyanam visishyate. Better than mere understanding of the Ishvara, here it is the Ishta Devata or Vishwarupa Upasana, not Aksharupa, Aksharam Brahma here. So better than the understanding, the Ishvara is what? The meditation with understanding. Better than the understanding, meditation with understanding is better. So Dhyanam Visishyate, the meditation with understanding. Here Dhyanam means what? Viveka Purvaka Dhyanam, meditation with knowledge, knowing. Of what is Vishwarupa, what is Ishtadevata, all those knowledge should be there. So meditation without knowledge is the lowest. Then knowledge is better. Then meditation with knowledge is still better. And what do we mean by knowing Vishwarupa? We can say that the whole creation is the body of the Lord, Vishwarupa. But what is the logic behind it? How do you say that the whole creation is the body of the Lord? Many people do not know the reason behind it, so it becomes a mechanical statement for most people. But if one studies the scriptures, they will give the reason. What is that? Ishvara is described as the karanam of the universe. Ishvara is the cause, both the material cause and the instrumental cause. And the world is karyam, the effect. And we know karanam alone appears as karyam. Gold alone appears as ornament. Wood alone appears as furniture. So applying the same logic, we say the Lord alone appears as the manifested universe. So the universe must be what? The manifested form of Ishvara, the Virat. This is called appreciation or meditation with understanding. Otherwise we will blindly say everything is Lord, which is mechanical. So, mechanical meditation is the lowest, knowing is better, meditation with understanding is still better. And jnanat dhyanam visishyate. And now Krishna says, better than the meditation with understanding is dhyanat karma palatyagaha. The fifth step said before in the 11th shloka. In fact, the fifth step has been said to be inferior at that time. We thought that it is inferior because it is lesser than the upasana. Upasana was said to be the second and third steps, and karma pala tyaga was said to be the fifth step. But instead, for the sake of encouraging, Krishna says karma pala tyagaha dhyanat shreyan. Superior to even dhyanam is karma pala tyaga, if you offer the fruits of your karma to the Lord. And we take it only as a glorification, not as a fact. Why don't we take it as a fact? We cannot, because in the previous shloka, dhyanam as superior and karma pala tyagam as inferior. That's what was said. And here, if he turns the table, then Krishna will be contradicting himself. So to avoid the contradictions, we should say that the previous one is fact, dhyanam is superior. So we should understand that this is only glorification, dhyana karma palatyagaha. And the palam of the fifth step, karma palatyagasya palam is what? Tyagat shantihi anantaram. The benefit of tyaga is immediate peace of mind, shantihi. Anantaram here means immediately, without any time gap. Immediately one gets peace. So the benefit, namely peace of mind, is immediate if a person practices the fifth step, namely prasada buddhi. Do the karma with your liking, whatever you want to do. But whatever the results that come, you offer it to the Lord and take it as the prasadam from the Lord. So tyagat, because of the practice of the fifth step, that is sarva karma palatyagam, the prasada buddhi step. One who practices that immediately attains shanti, peace of mind, tranquility. Therefore, Arjuna, everyone can start with this prasada buddhi in life, and gradually it will take them to akshara upasana and finally to brahma prapti or moksha also. It can take for a person even one full life or even many lives. Certainly in a later life even that is possible. So with this Krishna concludes the five levels of bhakti, which is the main topic of the 12th chapter, the Bhakti Yoga. Shloka 13. Adveshta sarva bhutanam maitra karuna evacha. Adveshta sarva bhutanam maitra karuna evacha. Nirmamo nirahankaraha samadukha sukha kakshami. Nirmamo nirahankaraha samadukha sukha kakshami. So the idea of the scriptures is that every devotee should be at least at one level of bhakti according to one's own grade, one's own level. You should be in some level of bhakti, at least one of them. So other religions like, you know, Islam, they cannot think of a form for Ishvara. There is nothing like a form for Ishvara. So he being omnipotent and omniscient, how can one confine him to a form? That is their logic. So in fact, some jnani is supposed to have said, "Oh Lord, I insulted you by putting you in a small idol." So, rupam, rupa vivarjitaya bhavate bhaktyacha yat kalpitam. Please remove all such sins now. Forgive me. Because I worshipped you before, because I thought you were sitting in a place, thus limiting you. And even though you are eternally pure, I washed you, thinking that you are impure. I did abhishekam to you. I did shodas upacharam. Instead of upacharam, I should not have done all these things. So we also accept the Lord cannot be confined to the temple and to an idol. But the glory of a religion is, even though that is the ultimate state, we say that everybody cannot be at that level. So we have to confine the Lord to an idol for the sake of a beginner. So according to us, various people are at various levels. So adhikari bedate sadhana bedaha. Because there are so many sadhanas, differences, because of adhikari bedat. Because there is this adhikari beda, there are so many sadhanas was there. So this is what is given there. So according to us, various people are at various levels. So different sadhanas have to be stipulated because different people are at different levels. There is no uniform advice at all. That's what? There is no uniform advice. So according to the scriptures, everyone should join one of these five levels which was mentioned by Krishna just now. And having joined one of the five levels, one should keep on progressing from that level to the highest level. If I am at the lowest level, then prasada buddhi to Ishvara, Ishvara arpana buddhi to Ishta Devata upasana, to Virat upasana, to Nirguna or Akshara upasana, to Moksha. So depending on my level, I can start from the appropriate level to go to Akshara upasana ultimately. No one can skip Akshara upasana for getting liberated. Most important point that we should know. Jnana Yoga, Akshara Upasana is most important. Okay, of these levels of bhakti, the beginning four levels are Bheda Bhakti. Bheda Bhakti means the Ishvara and myself are separate. ప్రసాద బుద్ధి, ఈశ్వరార్పణ బుద్ధి, ఇష్ట దేవతా ఉపాసన, విరాట్ ఉపాసన, ఆల్ దీస్ ఫోర్ దే ఆర్ ఆల్ ద్వైత భక్తి, వేర్ ది లార్డ్ అండ్ మీ ఆర్ సెపరేట్ యాజ్ దే ఆర్ ఆల్ అపరా. We have already learned the terms aparabhakti and parabhakti. They are all aparabhakti or lower types of bhakti. In the 7th chapter, we said artha bhakti, artharthi bhakti, jignasu bhakti, all those we said at that time. Here, we are putting them in a different language here. All these bhaktis are veda bhakti or dvaita bhakti, aparabhakti. Dvaita bhakti means me and lot are separate. And having gone these 4 steps, according to one's level, thereafter the 5th stage is transfer from Veda Bhakti to Abheda Bhakti. There is no difference between me and the Lord. Dvaita Bhakti to Advaita Bhakti, Apara Bhakti to Para Bhakti. And then we should remember that the transfer from Apara Bhakti to Para Bhakti or Saguna Bhakti to Nirguna Bhakti, these are all different terms, the transfer does not automatically happen. You have to understand, it does not automatically happen. It is not that you are going to, you go on doing Saguna Bhakti for some time and tomorrow onwards I have decided to change to Nirguna Bhakti. It does not automatically or naturally happen. This transfer is possible only by Vedanta Vichara, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, under a teacher, a guru, very important. So the second step to the first step, that is from Vishwarupa Upasana to Nirguna Bhakti, is not automatic. But it requires special effort on one's part. And that effort is what? Tad Vijnanartham Sa Gurumeva Abhigachet Samitpanihi Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam Mundukupanishad Tadviddi Pranipatena Pariprashnena Sevaya. Go to your guru and seek his guidance. Do Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. In that way alone, we travel from Dvaitam to Advaitam. Thus the transfer requires the special effort. And here on, Krishna will talk about a person who has passed all these 5 stages. What is the stage of that person who has passed through all the 5 stages? Who is Advaita Bhakta, who is Abheda Bhakta, who is Para Bhakta, who is Nirguna Bhakta, all are synonyms. I am using all these words so that we will know, regardless of whatever word I use, we will all know that they all mean the same thing. And what is his definition? What is his way of life? That is going to be the topic from the 13th to the 20th shloka of this chapter. Parabhakti Lakshanani. What are the Parabhakta Lakshanani? What are the Lakshanam? The attributes, qualities of a Parabhakta. Since we said Jnani alone can be a Parabhakta, we can also say that these are all the characteristics of a Jnani also. Jnani alone is a Parabhakta. So Lakshanam, nature or Swabhava is Lakshanam. So in the end of the second chapter, we had the Lakshanam of a Sthita Prajna. Sthira Prajna, we already saw that in the last portion of the second chapter. So that is the same as the Parabhakta Lakshanam of the 12th chapter. And we should know, why should the Lord define a Parabhakta? Important. There are 2 purposes for the Lord to define a Parabhakta. To create interest in us. Sishya Buddhi Parochanartham. So that is there is a need. Because unless we get convinced and we have interest to do that. Because when we hear the description of a Jnani, we find that he is ever happy. Does not have fear at all. He is Santushtaha. So we think it is a wonderful thing to be in. To be a Parabhakta is to enjoy our life thoroughly. So naturally, we also will become tempted to become a Jnani. This is called Prarochanam. That's what he puts. So to create that interest. And the second reason is, whatever is a spontaneous behavior of a Jnani, all become sadhanas for a sadhaka, for a seeker. Whatever things are all spontaneous for a Jnani, they are all sadhanas for a seeker. We have talked about this in the second chapter itself. Jnani sthita prajnasya lakshanani tani mumukshoho sadhanani. Whatever is the lakshanam of a sthita prajnaya Jnani, they are the sadhanas of a mumuksho. So whatever is the swabhava of a sthita prajna of a Jnani, they will become the sadhana for a sadhaka. సో సాధనం, వన్ షుడ్ డెలిబరేట్లీ ప్రాక్టీస్ ఇట్. వాట్ ఎవర్ ఇస్ స్పాంటేనియస్ టు ఎ జ్ఞాని, ఐ షుడ్ ప్రాక్టీస్ ఇట్ బికాస్ ఐఎమ్ ఎ జ్ఞాని యట్. ఫర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్, ఇఫ్ లవ్ ఈ స్పాంటేనియస్ ఫర్ ఎ జ్ఞాని, ఫర్ అ సాధక లవింగ్ అదర్స్ విల్ బికమ్ ఎ డెలిబరేట్ ప్రాక్టీస్. ఐ మే లవ్ మై చిల్డ్రన్, మై వైఫ్, బట్ లవ్ ఎవరిబడి, ఇట్ వుడ్ రిక్వైర్ ఎ సెపరేట్ ఫ్రేమ్ ఆఫ్ మైండ్. ఇఫ్ తృప్తి ఈస్ న్యాచురల్ ఫర్ ఎ జ్ఞాని, కంటెంట్మెంట్ ఫార్ అస్ ఇట్ ఈస్ అ సాధన. వెన్ ఎవర్ డిజైర్ కమ్స్, ఐ షుడ్ లెర్న్ టు ప్రాక్టీస్ కంటెంట్మెంట్. సో సాక్రిఫైస్ ఎట్సెట్రా ఆర్ ద న్యాచురల్ బిహేవియర్ ఆఫ్ అ జ్ఞాని, ఫార్ అ సాధక ఇట్ ఈస్ ఎ సాధన. సో దిస్ పోర్షన్ ఈస్ అ సిరీస్ ఆఫ్ సాధనాస్ ఫార్ ది స్పిరిచువల్ సీకర్స్, ముముక్షుస్. And of course, some indirect benefits are also given here for this section. And thirdly, this will give us the clues to find out where we are. We are all learning Vedanta, even through Bhagavad Gita and through so many Upanishads and all that. We are learning Vedanta. So we have this doubt. Are we growing or are we stationary? Or are we going down? We have been attending all these lectures for all these days. Where are we now? Are we growing or are we stationary? Or are we going down? This question we can all ask ourselves. So for many people, it is a replacement of another set of ragadveshas. Even sitting in these lectures may be replacement of another set of ragadveshas. Before Vedanta, there were certain ragadvesha. And after the study, they are replaced by another set of ragadvesha. Then what is the benefit? None. And if we find that we have all the traits and meet all the parameters, then we are all jnanis. We don't have to come to the next class at all. Otherwise, we have to work out. So, they become a clue for introspection, for self-judgment, for asking ourselves, where do we stand? We should be careful. This should not create frustration. Because pursuit of Vedanta is difficult, but very possible. So, if we find certain things are missing, we should not look down upon ourselves. There should be no feeling of guilt. We should never have the feeling of guilt. You should only open our eyes. And I know that what I should acquire, I will know. And above all, we should use these values only to judge ourselves. Most important. We should not use them to find out where other people are. Especially when husband and wife, sometimes husband and wife, they attend the classes. This is some interesting things. And finally, when the husband will say that the wife, he will start judging the wife, and wife, even otherwise perhaps they are judging, but they will start judging each other after attending the classes together also. And finally, we should note that these are the most important sadhanas that should be taken care of by a Vedantic seeker. So one should do it with lot of shraddha, with lot of conviction, because the lack of these are the main obstacles for the assimilation of knowledge, self-knowledge. In fact, in the 13th chapter, Krishna will call these values as jnanam itself. He will call these values themselves as jnanam. Because once these values are there, Vedanta will be absorbed immediately. Mind will be pure, it will be very ready to absorb Vedanta. So without Vedanta, we'll stand as an academic information only. Without the Vedantic knowledge, academic information. So, not an increase in puja or japa, they are not important, but practice of the value is the most important thing. I can go on doing abhishekam for hours and hours together. That is not important. But what is important is, how do I approach them in jnana marga? We don't want more and more parayanas. We want introspection and improvement. So, we have to remember the sthita prajna lakshanaha. So, parabhakta lakshana, all those things we are supposed to remember, and then we should practice all those. So all put together. And some more we will see later, actually, in the 13th chapter, you know, jnanam and gunatita lakshana at the 14th chapter, 16th chapter, daivi sampath, asuri sampath, all those we are going to see later. All put together, there are about 20-25 slokas are there. If we can get them by heart, we can ask ourselves daily, have I replaced the negative thoughts with positive thoughts in me? Everyday introspection. So now when we look at the meaning of the 13th sloka, what is the first trait of a jnani, parabhakta? Sarva bhutanam adveshta. We all get disqualified first itself, if you really look at it. Not hating anyone in the creation, that is the first trait. Immediately we think of our neighbor only, or a colleague or somebody, because this is human nature. Or to put it positively, universal love, no exception, sarvabhutana, and it should be unconditional also. And why does jnani loves everyone? We can give any number of reasons, it will be endless. But we will give one strong reason here. We know everyone loves oneself first. Atmanastu kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati. If at all I love anyone else, I love only those who are connected to me. For a jnani, the I is not confined only to the body. So sarva bhutatma bhutatma. So his I is Brahman, which extends through all things in creation. And so, as much as I love myself, so much I love everyone also. That is the attitude of a jnani. So, a jnani or parabhakta has got universal love, unconditional love. That is why the aim of every jiva is gradually extending love to every other person. That is why initially, as a brahmachari, he loves himself. Then as a grahastha, he loves his spouse, his children, family, and becomes a means of extending my love towards others also. Then loving further the community, the nation, and finally, sarva, sarve bhavantu sukhinaha, sarve santu niramayaha. It includes everything. So, sarva bhutanam adveshta, without any hatred towards anything else. For a jnani, this teaching is not necessary. Love is natural to him, is spontaneous to him. For us, this becomes a training. Whenever hatred comes, we should not allow the hatred vritti to continue. Then maitraha, friendship towards all. No ragadvesha, no division, no reservation. Then karunaha, when it comes to people who are suffering, have difficulty, sympathy and compassion is natural to him, to a jnani. And only out of karuna, he gives wisdom to all people. And that is how the parampara is maintained, the guru-sishya parampara. The guru with infinite compassion gave the knowledge to the sishya. And the sishya became a guru and gave the knowledge to his sishya, and the parampara continued. And in the second line, if we take the last word, kshami. Kshami means of the nature of forgiving. This comes especially when other people, they misbehave towards him. They harm him. They insult him. He forgives them. His attitude is no revenge, no punishment, not even mentally curse them, because he looks at the other person also as himself only. And for a jnani, there is no evil person at all. He looks at him as spiritually immature person and not as an evil person. So forgiveness, forgiving him as a child, kshami. For us, it becomes a sadhana. So whenever someone injures or hurts us, we should not immediately react and should shout back at them. We can leave the place or avoid further talk and forget it. So kshama has to be developed. Then nirmamaha, freedom from mamakara. There is no ownership. Possessor, possession, it can be put in two different ways. Either we can say that everything belongs to him, he need not claim a few things as mine, or he does not see a second thing at all. Sarvam kalu idam brahma. Nothing is to be claimed. So he does not have a mamakara at all, mindness. So he cannot lose anything because he doesn't think anything belongs to him, or he thinks everything is his, belongs to him. He cannot lose anything. So he is ready to give up anything at any time. And why there is no mamakara? Because nirahankara. Because there is no ahankara for him. The small I or the crooked I call that the ahankara as the crooked I, small letter I. If you write the big I, capital letter I, it is straight. The small I is crooked. So crooked I represents ego. For a jnani, aham includes the whole world. And there is nothing other than that for him, for a jnani. So he has no ahankara and mamakara. That is why we say parabhakti is possible only for a jnani. Even for a devotee, there is ahankara. I am a devotee. This is my lord. Bheda buddhi is there. And because of this reason, sama dukkaha sukaha. He is same towards pleasure and pain, the jnani. But experience-wise, he sees differences between sukham and dukkham. He knows. Samatvam is not experience. If so, he must have some problem with his health. Suppose sweating does not happen, then it is a disease. Jnani also will sweat when the temperature is high, because he also has a body. Then how does Krishna say it's samam? It is samam with respect to his reaction towards them. His response to the situation is the same. His experience is different, but response is the same. What do we mean that by that? Shankaracharya says, dvesha raga yoho apavartake. So he is telling the apravartake means the one who is insensitive to sukham and raga and dveshas. Dvesha and ragas. So apravartake. Sukham does not create raga in his mind. Dukkham does not create dvesha in his mind. Here alone, there is a difference between a jnani and an ajnani. So samatvam is not developing raga dvesha. As we saw in the 11th chapter, all pairs of opposites, dvandvas, you know, they become Vishwarupa. This is sama dukkha sukaha. Sukham and dukkham are same. And as even we read, at every step, what should we remember? All these steps are natural to a jnani. They are spontaneous. They are effortless for a jnani. Whereas for a sadhaka, for myself, they have to be deliberately practiced. I should learn to practice them. Like people telling, current is gone all the time. Normally people will say, in India this is very common, current is gone all the time. It is gone sometimes. But they say it's gone all the time. So these are the traits of a jnani. We will see further in the next webinar. Yo veda dausvara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakriti linasya parasamaheshwaraha Sri Krishna.